Good morning. So this Advent season, this year, the sermon series is called Songs for the Season. So every week in this season, we're actually using one of these famous Christmas carols or Christmas hymns as a starting off point for the sermon. And I think this is really important, at least it is for me, because with these old songs, we kind of go on autopilot a little bit, right? We've sung that song, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. I mean, how many times in your life? Hundreds of times we've sung that song. But it can start to feel a little bland. It can kind of start to lose its meaning, and we can go on autopilot. Do we really pay attention to the lyrics of Hark the Herald Angels Sing? This is a struggle with any religion, any even like ritual, whether it's religious or not. They can start to lose their meaning and kind of fade into the background. But there's another challenge that we face on top of that when it comes to these Christmas carols or Christmas hymns. And that is that they carry so much like cultural and contextual meaning, right? So when we sing this song, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, I doubt very much that most of us are thinking about the word hark and what that means and herald and what is that. No, we're thinking, whether consciously or subconsciously, about the snow, right? And memories from our childhood are like bubbling up within us, and we get these warm feelings, and we're thinking about the sights and the smells of Christmas time, gifts, traditions, our families, maybe the excitement that you felt as a kid during this Christmas time, the sound of the fireplace crackling, right? The smell of gingerbread in the house. So we have this greater challenge when it comes to Christmas carols, which is that not only have we sung them 100 times, but they carry so much cultural and contextual meaning. So how well do we really know the song, Hark the Herald Angels Sing? That's our song for today, for this Sunday. Think about a hymn, any hymn. Think about a non-Christmas hymn that you know all the words to, because we all know all the words to Hark the Herald Angels Sing. If I get you started, you could do the whole thing. Is there any non-Christmas hymn that you could sing word for word? Maybe Amazing Grace? Right? Are there any others, you know, that we really know all the words to? We have this stuff down pat in our minds, but how much do we actually think about what it means? Which is especially ironic with this song because it's called Hark or Listen. This song especially is calling out to us, listen, listen up. Listen to the words of the angels singing. They're powerful songs. They carry a lot of meaning, both in lyrics and in context. So our goal in this series is to bring to life some of these old Christmas carols or Christmas hymns. I'm just curious, since we're kind of a smaller group, let's do a little interaction. What are some of your guys' favorite Christmas carols or Christmas hymns? Call it out. Silent Night. It's classic. Good. Who else? It Came Upon a Midnight Clear. What was that, Tom? King Winslet. Wow. In the Bleak Midwinter. Good. God Rest You Merry Gentlemen. Joy to the World. It's a great one, right? Oh Holy Night. Very good. Jingle Bells. Right. So I have a problem when it comes to Christmas carols, and that's that I hate all of them. I just do not like Christmas music at all. I'm just, what's that?
What are you doing up there?
I know, right? I know. I'm not a fan generally of just like sentimental stuff, you know, like Jingle Bells, you know. It's just like, what is that? It has no meaning to me. Like, I just am not interested in singing that song over and over again, you know. Deck the Halls, etc. They just don't mean a lot to me. And I have a hard time singing these old, some of them very corny songs over and over for decades and decades and decades of my life. On top of that, I'm just generally not a big fan of nostalgia in general. or even the warm fuzzies, really. You know, just not really a big fan. So they have a word for that this time of year? Grinch? Right. I know. I fully embrace it. Don't worry. So, not a big fan of Christmas music. However, this song, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, is awesome. I love this song. It's packed with meaning. It's a beautifully written song. It's poetic. The music is amazing. It's just a powerful, powerful song. So, a little background on the song before we jump into kind of what it means. Song was written by Charles Wesley. It was first published in 1739 as a Christmas Day hymn. And when Charles Wesley wrote it, the original version was called this: Hark How All the Welkin Rings, Glory to the King of Kings. Doesn't quite have the same ring to it, does it? The welkin. Does anybody know what welkin is? I had to look it up. I don't blame you. So welkin is like the sky or the heavens. The heavens are ringing with the sounds of the angels or whatever. So George Whitefield, a student of Charles Wesley's, quickly changed these lyrics to the ones that we now know today. Let's see those up next to it. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king. So, I mean, really, he probably salvaged, you know, would we still be singing Hark How All the Welkin Rings if not for Whitefield stepping in and switching things up? So we owe it to Whitefield, but Charles Wesley he always refused to sing Whitefield's lines. He would not do it. He thought his lines were the best. So so if you even take the title of the song, right, Hark, which I already said is Listen. Listen, the herald, what's a herald? Herald is a messenger. So listen to the messenger angels singing is the kind of the idea of the song. It's actually taken from a passage in Luke 2 when an angel appears to the shepherds. This is actually our reading for Christmas Eve. I won't get too much into it, but an angel appears to the shepherds and says to them, go look for Jesus. And then all of a sudden, a host of angels appears around them. And they proclaim this, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace among those whom he is pleased. So basically what Charles Wesley did is take those two lines from scripture, and he made those the first two lines of the song. The first two lines of the song, glory to the newborn king. So that's his paraphrase of glory to God in the highest. And then the third line of the song, peace on earth and mercy mild, is a paraphrase of the scripture that says, on earth peace among those with whom he is well pleased. So the way I like to think about this song, you know, we just have these two lines that the angels sing in scripture in Luke 2. So I like to think about this song as if Charles Wesley was trying to imagine, you know, we only have these two lines from the angels. What if the angels had kept singing that day? What might they have gone on to sing about to the shepherds? And even to us, what might they want to proclaim to us? Because we just have these two little lines. So I like it as thinking about it in that kind of creative way that Wesley was trying to think about what else they might have to say to us. So this morning, I want to focus on three themes that I have found really rich from this song, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. The first is this: God coming to be with us. That theme is powerful this time of year, but it's especially powerful in this hymn. And you can imagine, if this song is a message from the angels, you can imagine how big of a deal that is to them, right? They're trying to really emphasize to the shepherds, look, God in heaven, the creator of the entire universe, who sits on a throne and is worshiped day and night, he is coming here to live among you. Do you understand how amazing that is? It's a big deal. I was trying to think this week of like a time when I have been visited by someone important, right? Can you think of a time in your life when someone really significant or important has paid you a visit? This is a terrible, this is not a good example, but it's the only one I could think of, okay? Little story about a man named Manute Bol. Anybody know who Manute Bol is? All right. So I grew up, Manute Bol is a Sudanese-born basketball player. He played in the NBA for 10 years. He was 7'7", 7 foot 7 inches. Do we have some pictures here? That's Manute. And I grew up watching, look at this guy. I grew up watching this guy on TV and was just fascinated. I mean, a guy who's 7'7", when you're a kid and you look at a basketball player like that, it's just amazing, right? Look at that, just reached. So in 2008, I was here on a Sunday morning at Christ Church, and Manute Bol walked in the door. Was anybody here for that? Does anybody remember? Manute Bol, you can't forget it. If you were here, you remember, right? Manute Bol walked in the front door of Christ Church on a Sunday morning. I was down there in the foyer off the sanctuary, and I mean, automatic just awe when you see him. He is just, his physique is awe-inspiring. And I was really excited because, like I said, I grew up watching him on TV. And so I suddenly became Hark the Herald Dean Sings, right? I was going all around like, guys, Manute Bol is here. Manute Bol. So I was like running down here telling people. I went down to the basement and told the middle school and high school kids, like, Manute Bol is upstairs. And they're like, Manute who? Right. It didn't matter. You should come see him anyway, right? So I was the herald letting everyone know Manute Bol is here. Not that you could miss him if you were here, right? You saw him. So that was like just a time in my life when somebody who was really significant to me paid me a visit. I mean, he wasn't here for me, right? But it felt like an honor that he was here among us, which is even, by the way, Manute Bol passed away in 2010. He's been a resident of Olathe, Kansas for a long time. Unfortunately, I never ran into him at the grocery store or anything. I was always hoping to, but great guy, Manute Bol. And so this idea of someone coming to see you, it's even more significant than you going to see someone, right? So let's say you're going to see a concert of a band that you absolutely love. That's really cool, but it's even bigger and more significant if that band comes to see you, right? If somebody that you really respect and honor comes to your house or the place where you work, if like the CEO of your company that you never see comes into your office, that is the point that the angels are trying to make in this hymn. God is coming here to live among you. He's coming here. So I want to touch on a couple of lines from the song that point this, that draw out this theme. The first one is this: veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. I love this line. One of my favorite lines from the song. It's very poetic. And it's this idea, right? That even though Jesus' appearance was anything but magnificent, it was absolutely ordinary. You needed only see through that veil of his humanity to see the King of all kings. Song goes on to say, mild he lays his glory by, meaning that Jesus set aside or sacrificed his own glory to live among us. There's a scripture that captures this idea really well. It's Philippians 2. It says this: but he, Jesus, did not think that being equal with God was something he should hold on to. Instead, he made himself nothing. He took on the very nature of a servant. He was made in human form. He appeared as a man. He came down to the lowest level. This is the message of Christmas, right? Jesus, God of all, set that aside and was born as a baby in a stable. And for what? Why did he do it? Well, this song answers the question for us. It says, pleased as man with man to dwell. In other words, Jesus did all this because he wanted to be with us. He wanted to be with us. His favorite of all his creations, he wanted to be with us. and he wanted to make a way for us to be with him forever. So that's the first theme that I love from this song, God with us, God coming to be and live with us. Second theme is this. The song really outlines a lot of the benefits of Jesus coming. The benefits. So it's as if the angels are saying to us, look, do you have any idea what his coming will actually mean for you? Yes, he is coming to live among you, but it's not just him. He is bringing gifts with him. The first that it lists is this, light and life to all he brings. Life and light to all he brings. Now, if you think back on Jesus's life, you know, if you open your Bible to one of the four Gospels, the books of the Bible that tell the story of Jesus, it's clear that he does this on every page. In Jesus's life, he was always bringing life and light wherever he went. He brought hope to the hopeless, faith to the faithless. He even brought life to the lifeless. And he offers us these same benefits today. Jesus is powerful and he is good. Life and light to all he brings. So the benefits of Jesus coming to live among us were very clear in his life, but not only that. The benefits were even more clear in his death. And this song doesn't just recognize his birth. It points to his death and what was accomplished by it. Here's a couple of lines, other lines from the song. Risen with healing in his wings, pointing to Jesus' resurrection, right? Born that man no more may die, born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. It's this picture into what Jesus was actually trying to accomplish when he was here. Jesus came on a mission. His life was always headed somewhere, and that was to the cross. You know, we don't talk that much about the cross this time of year, right? This is a time of year to be thinking more about the manger. But these two things, the cross and the manger, are inextricably linked. And Charles Wesley gets that right in this hymn. Jesus died on the cross so that we will not die. He offers new life to all of those who are in Christ. And now we come to one of my favorite lines, another one of my favorite lines. I've probably said that five times this morning, from this song. I love this line, and I kind of feel like Charles Wesley snuck it in, and I had never really noticed it until this week when I was looking at the song. It says this, late in time, behold him come. Late in time, behold him come. So while Jesus brings with him all of these benefits, we have to acknowledge that his timing is not our timing. Have you ever felt like God was late in your life? Have you ever prayed saying to God, God, where are you on this one? We could have really used your help. We could have used your help yesterday. It really seems to us, God, that you are late. Lord knows I have prayed that prayer. And no doubt the people of Israel 2,000 years ago who were hearing this message from the angels, no doubt they felt it too, right? 2,000 years ago, it had been 400 years since the people of Israel had heard a word from God. I'm sure they were thinking, God, you're late. Where are you? But the Bible tells us that when Jesus came, he was not late. He was exactly on time. Galatians 4 tells us, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman. In other words, Jesus was not dawdling. Jesus was not killing time. He was exactly on time. He's intentional with his time. So many of you might be feeling this season like God is late in something in your life. And as hard as it is, we have to acknowledge that his timing is not ours. And when the time is right, he will act. While it might feel late to us, he has not forgotten about you. The last theme that I really picked up from this song as I was looking at it this week is this: worship. Worship. If you looked at this entire song, the song as a whole, and had to classify it in some way as a song, you would say it's a worship song. It's a praise song. Every stanza ascribes to God something that is true about him. And that's what worship is. He opens and closes every verse with just a powerful statement of praise and worship. Let's look at a couple of those from the song. Glory to the newborn king. Hail the heaven-born prince of peace. Hail the son of righteousness. Hail, that's such a powerful worship word, right? These angels are clearly in awe of him. However, this is something that I think is really cool. The song starts with hark, right? Listen, listen to our song, the angels are saying. But the song does not stop there at listen. The song goes on to say, join. Join. Join the triumph of the skies. This is not a song that the angels were singing and they just wanted us to listen to it and hear it. They are inviting all of creation, all of humanity, to join in that song. They invite us in. Join the triumph of the skies. We're called to worship this time of year. We had a great, for those of you that were here last week, whether here or in the nave, we had this great service, Lessons and Carols, that we have every year. That's just, I mean, it is all about worship. Nobody stands up here and blabbers on like I'm doing. We just sing songs, and that's it. We just sing praise songs to God. It's a time of year to be focused on praise and worship of him. I just want to make a disclaimer here that, like, I know that the holidays are a really hard time of year for some people, for a lot of people, that maybe the holidays for you are a time of year when you're reminded of some grief that you have in your life, maybe the loss of a family member or loved one, whether it's this year or years past. It may be simply that you're going through something really difficult right now in your life that you know will kind of put a damper on what you would like to be the Christmas festivities, right? Or it may just be that as we're kind of coming to the end of the year here, maybe you've had a really rotten year, and you're reflecting on those things. What we need to remember that ultimately this Christmas season is not about those warm fuzzies that we get, right? It's not even about really the sentiment that we get. It's not even really about our traditions or even our family. As important as all of those things are, that is not what is most important about this Christmas season. Christmas is about worship. It's a time of year where we all can turn our attention, all of our attention, to Jesus. Come to live among us and risen with healing in his wings. In closing, I'd like for us to think just for a second about this Christmas carol and all Christmas carols as a metaphor of sorts. Okay, let me explain. These carols are rich with meaning. They teach us about what God is doing in the world, right? And they teach us, they proclaim things that are true about God. However, God is still doing things around us all the time. God is still proclaiming things that are true about himself around us in our lives right now. So in a sense, God is always, you could say, writing a new carol. Writing a new carol. So God is singing this carol all around us. And for many of us, most of the time, at best, we're just kind of humming along mindlessly like we do with Hark the Herald Angels Sing. We're not really paying much attention to what he's actually doing, but we're kind of going with the flow. That's at best. I think at worst, many of us are just singing our own songs, right? We're kind of consumed with our own lives, and we're not really paying a lot of attention to what God is doing. We're out of sync and out of tune with his song. Now, what's nice about that is that you're in good company. You know, Donna read for us this morning that passage from Matthew where we see that quality in Joseph, Jesus's earthly father, right? Joseph, who was a good man, but he was kind of singing his own song, right? Joseph had made up his mind that he was going to divorce Mary quietly. And that's because he was a good man. He was trying to think about what was in his best interest and in Mary's best interest and in the baby's best interest. But he was singing his own song. So God came into the picture and helped him out. Angels were sent to Joseph with a message. And Joseph ultimately aligned his life with God's song. So this season, Advent and Christmas, let's hark. Let's hark. Let's listen to his song. What is God doing around us? What is he doing in your life, in our life? And let's sing along with his song.